Welcome into Four Quarter Friday, presented by the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association. We're just 3 weeks away from kickoff here in the Palmetto State, 2 weeks from the Jamborees. Rob's not ready. I'm not ready. We're trying. Day two of preseason camp across the state, so it's all football today here on Four Quarter Friday. I'm Matt Smith. That is Rob Williams. On today's show, we'll have a check-in with Sumter School's Athletic Director, Terrence Scriven. Updates on everything you can find at fourquarterfriday.com, including those Jamboree schedules. Reaction to the senior transfer rule change coming here in the 11th hour. I thought all the hay was in the barn. I thought we knew how this season was going to work. But just a last-minute change. We'll get to the details on that. And we will hopefully be able to track down Aaron Brand, head coach for the Irmo Yellow Jackets, program that has won 37 games in the last three seasons. And this year, they'll be a part of the 4A classification. Watch out, 4A. Rob and myself, you see, sipping the coffee here in the HD Law Studios. And again, we'll have Aaron Brand, Irmo head coach, Terrence Scriven, Sumter School's athletic director, on the show today on the Leading Edge guest line. Welcome to the first quarter of the Four Quarters presented by Bill Maloney Farm Bureau. Rob, I just said it. I'm not quite ready for the Jamborees, and there are so many across the state. There's you, there's me. We can't see all of those Jamborees, so we're going to have to either recruit, like other people looking to like get bird dogs to get some eyes on it, or me and you are going to be doing the thing where we're watching one game and then hopping in the truck and going to try to catch another Jamboree same night.
Yeah, that may be the case, Smitty. First of all, it's great to be here. It's a fantastic Friday. And just to pull the curtain back from everybody, you know, Smitty and I are talking nonstop about everything that's going on across the state as there's so much developing and so many of your teams that we want to provide coverage for. But even as late as 10 seconds before we were on the air today, chaos ensues as I stepped back and knocked my microphone over. So I was laughing when we came on the air because just before the cameras flashed on, Smitty, I was resetting everything here. It's going to be a great day today as we get ready. You mentioned the Jamborees. We have graphics for those that we can talk about here in just a little bit. You want to go to fourquarterfriday.com to get your details. We will share those here, but you want to make sure that you get those there, and you can always find them at fourquarterfriday.com, where you can also become a part of the Varsity Club and get into the conversation with us. That's where the inside scoop is. That's where coaches and ADs will be to give you their information on what's happening. And that's where you, as a fan, an alum, a parent, a community member, can come to have a conversation about not only your school, but the schools around you and maybe the schools that you are familiar with in your area. Smitty, yeah, you know, with these Jamborees you mentioned, a lot of them on the same night. We do have a Monday night Jamboree coming up at Woodruff. We'll talk about that in just a bit as well. And I'm looking forward to the opportunity to maybe check a few teams off the list that we'll get a chance to see. I'll get a chance to see on a Monday night and then maybe take a trip over to Football City USA on a Friday night. I know where you will be on August 14th. But first of all, it is.
But you want to stop calling me out on the Varsity Club, by the way? I saw that. You think I don't see these things?
Well, you know, if you see them, you just got to pop back at me. That's kind of how that works. It's, I don't know. Is that the Union County blood in me from my childhood? I'm not sure.
Let me ask you this, because I hear Union County in our open as well. I'll tell you about how Rob called me out in the Varsity Club in a second, but I hear Union County in the open as well. I was covering sports in the upstate when the switch was made from Union to Union County. Mm-hmm. Do people in your life, because you're from, for those who don't know, Rob is from Union.
I was in eighth grade that year, by the way.
Do people in your life call it Union County, or do they still call it Union?
I think they call it Union County at this point. It's become very, yeah. Union County has become the thing. And like I said, at that time, it was a big change. It was a big switch. We've seen this elsewhere in the state with Colleton County. We know Barnwell's going to something here in the next year or two.
Yep.
They're gonna consolidate some stuff. You know, at that point, there was a lot of contention for those who were Jonesville and Lockhart alums who were no longer going to have their schools.
I knew a lot of those people. Yep.
And but I feel like at this point it is just, you know, it's become synonymous with Yellow Jackets. It's Union County. And I think for me, because I was in eighth grade when that change was made, going through my entire high school career as kind of that first group that went all the way through under the UC, that just became, yep, that became a little bit of an identity for us. It wasn't just the U, it was the UC. So brand new basketball court there for Mitchell Moss and the Yellow Jackets in Union. Just in case you missed that last week as well, I'll throw that out there while we're talking about Union.
Well, all right, so here's how Rob called me out, and we want you to be a part of the varsity club. Great time to join. So it's fourquarterfriday.com. You get access to everything for just $1, $5 a month. Won't find a better deal than that in town limits. But Rob had put out the post about, and I'll give you a little peek inside the varsity club. This is the kind of thing we're doing on the message boards. Not only are you getting all the news, but you get the discussion and then different generations coming together. And Rob said, all right, best defensive player you've seen in the state of South Carolina, you know, with your own eyes. And there were some responses. And then he said, where are my history buffs, Smitty and Phil Molnax, at? Because yesterday on Inside the Gamecocks, Phil and I just talked about how, you know, Rob was kind of taking shots at us because we've got a 25 days to kickoff feature. And I'm doing it, a lot of it from a historical perspective. And the way Rob said it, he was kind of like, you know, listen, a lot of historical stuff.
That's all I said was that you wanted to come from a historical perspective, which I think is fantastic because there's so many people reading, watching, listening who are going to connect with those memories. So I didn't have the only 23 days to kickoff. The only 23 that I had for you off the top of my head was Seth Tillman at South Point, but that didn't match the theme. That's all I was saying, you know. But okay, you guys got your feelings hurt, and if the shoe fits, okay. You mentioned you were covering when Union went from Union to Union County, and I was in eighth grade. So we'll
okay,
just there.
Okay, all right. That's fair. That's a clean shot. You got a glove on me there. Now, I was just gonna give everyone a peek. So you said, you know, best defensive player, and I don't know, what did you have an answer or did you just ask? Did you repost with an answer?
Well,
best defensive player you saw.
Well, I said I saw Jadeveon Clowney live, and that's a little hard to.
Okay. That's,
it's hard to rank anybody.
You can't
else.
Shake that.
It's tough. You know, it was carnage. I think that I'll steal your word.
Yes, and because what I said, and I tell you what, we're going to have Terrence Scriven, Sumter School's AD. Maybe he's got an opinion on this. We'll have him on after this quick break. But so what I said was, I saw Sean Ellis at Westside. And you couldn't do anything to him because you couldn't cut him. His legs were too long. He'd just step over it. And you couldn't try to throw screens on that side because he'd fill up the passing lane. And if you tried to run, he said, well, I'll just track it down from the weak side. And so he just cut off half the field. And then you had to, like, chip him from the other side. So it's like playing 12 guys. And it was one of the most remarkable things I'd ever seen. And he's doing that against high 4A competition. And then the comment I made, and this is, we want everybody to get to fourquarterfriday.com and join, because I said, I didn't see John Abraham at Lamar and Courtney Brown at Macedonia, but what that must have looked like. That's when I said, carnage. What in the world must that have looked like? Try finding a guy on a 50-player roster that can play left tackle and block John Abraham or Courtney Brown, both of which went in the first round in the 2000 NFL draft. All right, but that's a taste into the kind of debates we're having at fourquarterfriday.com inside the varsity club. What we'll do now, let's take a quick break. We'll roll into the second quarter. We'll have Terrence Scriven. He's a Four Quarter Friday vet now. Had him on before, and we're going to check back in with him because he's got a new position, Sumter School Athletic Director. He is now Athletic Director over the Sumter County Schools. We'll discuss that with Coach Scriven. Maybe he's got an answer to our little debate as well when we come back. You're watching Four Quarter Friday on the Chief Sports Network. And welcome back to Four Quarter Friday. Matt Smith, Rob Williams with you here. And we've got Terrence Scriven back with us, Sumter School District Athletic Director, a new position for Coach Scriven. He was a part of the Coach's Academy this past weekend because, Coach Scriven, you have a position as well with the Coaches Association. We appreciate you taking some time. You can lay out all the things that went down there and also about your new position. So welcome back to Four Quarter Friday, and thanks for doing what you did to get some help. I think you've got maybe a new office, and you had some audio issues you had to work through to get on with us this morning.
Well, if you remember last time, it was a total screw-up on my part, so I wanted to make sure it didn't happen this time for sure. But, hey, thanks, Rob Smitty, for having me on, man. This is awesome what you guys do and the support y'all give to South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association. And, of course, I'm excited as all get out to be the new district AD for Sumter School District. So, hey, let's do it.
Well, Coach, I want to hear about the Coaches Academy last weekend. Obviously, we are big fans of the Coaches Association around here, and the association is big supporters of us. So I think that I feel like we walk around hand in hand because we are working for the same thing, helping out these coaches, elevating players and communities. And what a weekend it was in Greenville. Can you just give us a couple of the highlights about what stood out? I know that there were lots of awards there on the back end, but some real opportunities for growth and for coming together in the beginning. Talk a little bit about what stood out last weekend at the Coaches Academy.
Absolutely. Let me start by, I might make you laugh a little bit, but let me start by, it felt like when I was 22, I remember going to my first athletic conference, the clinic at the time. And I went and I was 22 years old and I was like, this is amazing. And this weekend felt like the same exact thing. For some reason, it was just a totally different vibe. Coach Early, Scott Early does an amazing job along with his staff, with Kelly, with Lacey, who's completely awesome, and Cindy, who does an awesome job. And me, I just fit in wherever they're needed. But it was an awesome academy. I got a chance to see some amazing speakers, Chris Singleton, who was awesome, Stephen Mackey. Look, I'm sitting there at the Coaches Academy, and I'm just having a good time. We're working. It was really busy, a lot of awards. I even got my 25th award, Year of Service Award. And, of course, I get congratulated when I got home, and I said all that means is I'm getting old. But what a great time. And Shane Beamer walks right past me, and I get up like a 10-year-old kid and go grab him and get a picture. But it was just amazing time with the awards, the speakers, some of our high school level coaches were speaking. We had Dabo Sweeney. Of course, like I said, the motivational part was great. And then the organization of it was really good. And a lot of great vendors were at the place. So it was an amazing time. And then the good thing about it is we're continuing to grow every day. We're talking about things that we could do better. Scott Early's got the most incredible vision. I don't think he sleeps, so you got to check on him every blue moon. I don't know if he gets any sleep at night because his mind is completely wandering and trying to make things better. But what an awesome job that whole staff did. And like I say, for myself, I just want to fit in where I can fit in and help and make things run smooth.
Well, tell us this, if you would, Coach. What does the Athletic Coaches Association, how does it support coaches, and why should they all be a part of it and kind of take advantage of all that you and Coach Early do for them and provide? Because it's all right there. All they have to do is join and then kind of show up or be there or stay in touch with you guys.
Yeah, so I try to tell, especially our young coaches, and they love to go, I know, in our area. And then we got some veteran coaches who – feel like it's not as conducive to them now because sometimes, you know, I'm gonna be honest, maybe they think they know it all or what they do is what they do. But at the same time, I think the camaraderie and everybody coming together, that's the most important part to me. It's not necessarily learning new plays or, you know, you can learn some new stuff, but at the same time, it's the camaraderie. I enjoy the camaraderie. I saw so many people that I knew across the state of South Carolina, and just to be able to come there, because you can have coaches, you can have a coaches academy / clinic among four people just sitting at the table just discussing things without even going into a session. So that it just I wish more people would continue to come. I think we had a great number this weekend, which was really good. And so we're going to keep attacking that to make sure people understand that there is more than just going to the clinic and then going out and just having a social. It's a lot of learning and connecting. And I believe if I was not a part of the Coaches Academy, then I would not be where I am today. I really believe that because of the people I knew and the relationships I built.
Coach, you talk about relationships and kind of building as a person in the shifting landscape that we have in athletics now. It's easy for especially high-profile players to kind of get lost in the shuffle of everybody giving them attention, and we've seen how it impacts young athletes when all of the hype starts to come around them. You mentioned Stephen Mackey just a minute ago in terms of kind of the player development, the motivational piece. How do we develop these players as young men and women? Can you talk a little bit about what you think the importance is there, what you've seen as a coach, as an AD, of kind of developing them off the field as well to try to prepare them to be productive members of the communities that they live in South Carolina?
Well, as you just said, you know, one of the things he said that I won't ever forget, that, you know, someone poured into you, so you got to pour back into somebody else. And so that was one of the main major things. That's how I feel. You know, I started in Sumter School District, and then from 1999, I was at Alice Drive Middle School. I like to pride myself that I hit it from the ground up. I didn't jump straight to a varsity level. I was painting fields. I was, you know, sweeping floors at the middle school level. And then I worked my way up, and you have a more appreciation for all of that when you work your way up. But then at the same time, you know, I was able to branch off, and I went to a couple of different places, went to Wilson High School, had a great time there, great people in Florence, went to Gaffney, served as district athletic director there, great time there, good people, true athletic town, of course, that as you know of. And then I made myself back to Sumter School District, because this is where my roots are. This is where people poured into me, and now I get the opportunity to pour back into people. And I think that's really key. And I think I've done that for the most part. I want to put myself in brag and say, hey, I've done a lot, but there's a lot more to do. But I do feel like I'm headed in that direction. And that's all a part of that Coaches Academy, because you learn and you meet new people and you meet, get new ideas, and then you bring them back. And I can guarantee you, I've brought 1,000 ideas back to our district. And we got a new superintendent, Dr. Gerald Gary, and he's doing a phenomenal job. He's been on the job 5 or 6 months, but you can already see some changes going on that are benefiting everyone, not just the students, but student athletes and academics and all of that.
Well, for those that may not know, Coach Scriven, he was a player. He was a player, over 21 points a game at Claflin Hall of Famer.
Ooh, and you bring that up. I hear you.
Yeah, that's right. We talked about that last time. But football season is coming up fast, Coach. So tell me, you know, now you've done this before, but, you know, over the full district, so there's multiple teams for you to catch. How are you going to do it? Tell me about your teams and maybe the relationships you're building with those football coaches as well, because football Friday nights in Sumter County, it's – we, you know, you just said Gaffney. There's some pockets, right? Abbeville and Greenwood and Gaffney, and Sumter County is one of those. So what do you think Friday nights is going to be like, and what are you ready to take in?
Well, we got some exciting new people in our and returning great people. So, you know, I'll start with my former school. Well, all three of them actually are my former school, but my most recent, Crestwood High School, Coach Roosevelt Nelson, who's, you know, Clemson grad, been the head coach there now at 10 years, as a Crestwood grad himself, and does a really phenomenal job with his student athletes, you know, and runs a very character built type program, and his kids are going to play hard. You got new coach at Lakewood High School, Jaron Devlin. He's coming from West Wilson. He's at West Florence, coming from Wilson High School. He's hit the ground running. I've already seen some things in the community getting behind him. He's doing an awesome job. And then you have Drew Marlowe, who's built a powerhouse at South Florence High School, but is a Sumter High grad himself, and he's coming back home, just like what we talked about. You know, someone poured into you, and he's pouring back into others. So I think we're going to have some very good games. I know Sumter has a powerhouse schedule to start the season off. They head to Somerville. Lakewood has a tough schedule, and they'll be playing on a new turf field this year. So I know they're excited about that, some upgrades on their field. And then Crestwood, the same thing, has some upgrades to their stadium as well. And they will open up against Manning and then Goose Creek right after. So it's some phenomenal games that will be going on. And then at one point during the season, something Crestwood will play. And as always, the city shuts down for that game. And depending on what each other's records are, it could be no one in town. You know, it just depends. So, but I'm excited about all three of those high schools and three of those programs. And I'm excited, and I'll be there. I've already started setting my schedule. This Friday night, I'm here. If games are in town, I'm going to hit one halftime. I'm going to hit this one the second half. And so I'm going to do my best to get to each one of them. Then I might hit the road a couple of times and go to watch them play. I am a big follower of athletics. Even as a school AD, I never missed a Friday night game unless there was a reason that I had to miss it. So I'll definitely be there. I'll know what's going on, and I'm excited for all three of those programs.
Well, Coach, how about running the football? You talk about Crestwood and Sumter between Frank Richardson and Calvin Wofford and others on both of those rosters. I think you're going to see some rushing attacks that will draw the eye. Can you just talk a little bit? Smitty mentioned before on our varsity club forum on fourquarterfriday.com, we've had some discussions about, you know, who are the best defensive players you've seen in South Carolina? Who are the best? Which school produces the most running backs? Can you talk, as a Sumter guy, can you talk a little bit about some of the names that you've seen come out of Sumter County that maybe people listening have forgotten about?
If you would have asked me that question, I could name about 15 names right off the top of my head. But just thinking about that, of course, I'm a Sumter grad. I can go all the way back to 1994 when I graduated, and during the times of Wally Richardson, Will Richardson, Derek Witherspoon, Dexter Davis, all of these high-profile names from the past. But then you got your, you know, at Sumter, you got your Roderick McDowell. You got your
Hot Rod McDowell. He has not come up.
That's why we ask these questions.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I even hate to call out one name or two because there's so many. And then you hit the Crestwood side. And, you know, you had Tyshawn Williams that went to North Carolina, then BYU, and played in the league a little bit. You know, you have the Simon brothers who were really good. One went to South Carolina State. The other played at South Carolina. The tight end played at South Carolina a couple years ago.
Josh.
Yeah. So there are a ton of people that, you know, if I start bringing up names, I might get a call and say, how you forget me? But, you know, we produced a lot of athletes out of something.
Well, listen, I'll give you one. Smitty and I have been doing this back and forth about historical and recent. I'll give you probably the most recent that I can think of, and that would be Lakewood's Brandon Cisse, who just was drafted into the NFL. So that
How do I forget the new recent Green Bay Packer? You know,
hey, listen, you know, I got you covered.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. Which is crazy is I coached his older brother at Furman Middle School back in 2011. He went on to play football at Lakewood. So that is. How do I miss the just recent NFL draft pick? But
I told you to think back, Coach. Maybe it was a setup. That was not intentional.
You're good.
Tell you to think back, right? And then I'll come through and give you what happened in the past couple of years. What they say. You know that you bring out the popsicles and the lollipops for the kid over here, and I'll let Smitty handle the historic timeline.
No doubt.
I'm not that old, but Coach, we'll let you roll out of here on this. Give us, or for any of the coaches, because we want to make sure that the coaches are a part of fourquarterfriday.com and they can go there for their information. So if they are intrigued by the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association and want to stay in better touch and want to take advantage of all those resources, where do they go? How do they do that? How do they, even if they're, maybe they've already joined and they haven't taken advantage, or they haven't joined?
Well, I think we do a really good job. Each week there's a devotional. Each week there's something being popped up on social media. And you can't tell me nowadays that everybody's not on social media. So 98% of the people in the world are on social media. So we're constantly putting our brand out there as far as the Coaches Academy is concerned and the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association through social media. I've even received calls of, you know, people, hey, how do I do this? And most of the people I'm connected with, and the main source of people that I'm trying to get in contact with is my middle schools. And they're not as received of the Coaches Academy as we are. So even when I was talking to some of my middle school coaches and they realized that, look, I want to do this, and they didn't know a lot about it. So it's really just getting more information out. And the more you keep talking about it, people are going to receive it and people are going to know about it. So one of the things, contact the office. You got great office staff with Lacey. You got any questions, go on social media or talk to your athletic directors and continue to ask about it. But I received numerous messages over the weekend just saying, hey, I want to do this. How do I get in this? Even coaches asking, how am I able to speak? I want to speak at the Coaches Academy. So just continue to be a voice and continue to be seen and out there where from the social media standpoint and just being a part of that program, just continue to try to do the best we can to get as much information as possible.
Now, Coach, we appreciate your time. Congratulations on your position. We're going to run across you. And we don't mean this. This isn't flippant. On Friday nights, you text us. We can't be everywhere, and you're going to be at a couple games, so you text us what's happening, and thank you for bringing Roderick McDowell's name back up. How could I forget? Because he was unstoppable in a high school football field.
Yeah,
he could not be dealt with.
He was. He was really good. He was really, really good. He's I'm not sure where he's, because he's moved. He's bounced a little bit, but I think it's Marshall.
I just read. Marshall. I think he's still at Marshall as a coach.
That is correct. I've actually seen him multiple times in the spring on the recruiting trail. Right. He is at Marshall.
Well, thank you guys both. I appreciate it. Thank you for the support. Thank you for having me on. It's been awesome. I definitely follow you guys, and I'll continue to advocate and make sure that we get more of this information out. And I'll be sending you text every Friday night, because I'll be at 1 or 2 every Friday night. I can promise you that.
Please do. All right. Congratulations again, Coach, and we'll be in touch.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
That is Coach Terrence Scriven. He is now the district athletic director in Sumter. We've got to take another break. When we come back, we're going over the Jamboree schedule across the state, corner to corner. This is Four Quarter Friday, presented by the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association on the Chief Sports Network. Athletic director in Sumter. That is Rob Williams. I am Matt Smith. These are the HD Law Studios, Four Quarter Friday, presented by the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association. Our thanks as well to Bill Maloney, Farm Bureau Insurance. Rob trusts him. So should you, because Rob lives like a maniac. So, you know, he's from Union County. He's probably on a four-wheeler on the interstate, and Maloney still insures him.
That's it. That's it.
Am I close?
Maybe not. But Union County, that's accurate. Yes. I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you there. Yeah. And shout out again. Thanks again to Coach Terrence Scriven on the Leading Edge guest line there with us. If you need fundraising for your team or organization, contact Leading Edge today. It's faster, it's less work, and it's more money. So I don't really know what. It sells itself, right? All right, Smitty. It's been a jam-packed show so far, and I've gotten my jabs in. You've countered very nicely. Four wheelers on the interstate. You know, we're back and forth here. But here we are with some rule changes, right?
Yeah. I want to hear about this. So that this is what I opened with. There's a transfer rule change, and Rob was all over this, and it's posted all of it and coaches' reactions at fourquarterfriday.com. So Rob, take us through this. You can take us through the timeline. Maybe even before this rule change, when it was just hinted about, whispered about in circles.
Yeah, so we kind of got mixed. I'll be honest, we were getting a little mixed back and forth on opinions on whether or not this change was going to happen. To outline the change overall, first, this change happens for first-time transfers. I think we need to be very explicit about that. This does not count for second-time transfers. This is a first-time transfer change where previously, if you were a first-time transfer in your senior year, you would miss the beginning of the season. In football, that is equivalent to the first three games. That has been eliminated, and now first-time senior transfers are immediately eligible. So underclassmen were already immediately eligible, Smitty. But you mentioned before, and I think this is the timing of it is the most interesting thing. As you mentioned before, it was in the 11th hour. It was, in all honesty, it was in the 12th hour because there is another tier of a penalty, for lack of a better word, if you transfer after the first day of practice, and then a third tier if you transfer after the first game action. So because this ruling came out yesterday on the first day of practice, it only admits those who had already chosen to transfer. There was no window, at least for football. Now, for the other sports, or the winter and spring sports, you still have an opportunity. But for fall sports, so football, volleyball, etc., there's no opportunity. So those who had transferred are now eligible. Those who chose, hey, that rule is going to keep me out of some games, I think I'm just going to stay put, and they did not choose to transfer, they don't have an opportunity to go back on that decision. So it puts those decisions in a little bit of an interesting light here, as some people decided to take the leap and take the punishment and now are open, and some kids and families made the decisions not to. And I think that overall was the sentiment from coaches when you talk to them. Just, you know, kids and families have to make these decisions. I got that from, you know, Stephen Burris at Westwood. We put this up, but he said, essentially, I've got to run a program people want to be a part of. This is what it is. And those athletes and their families are going to make those decisions. And that my job is to create the best program that I can. So, you know, I think about the kids today, Smitty, that chose to stay. And then the rule was changed, lifted, et cetera. What are they thinking on a day like today or a day like yesterday when it's like, man, maybe I could have gone?
So initially the rule was you were going to have to sit out the first 3 weeks.
Correct.
If you were a senior transferring for the first time.
Correct.
And now if you were there and transferred prior to the first practice, you're correct. Now immediately eligible.
Correct.
And what do you say is, you've got this piece up at fourquarterfriday.com, and there's a lot more. We'll go into that in a moment. But just consensus, positive from the coaches?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the consensus was it, anywhere that I got no negative response. I'll say that. It was anywhere from neutral to overwhelmingly positive. You know, one coach I talked to said, I feel like $1 million. You know, and all the way back to that was on the.
Wait, did you quote that one? Are you allowed to quote that one? I feel like $1 million.
Well, I didn't. I'm not telling you anywhere close to who that was, but.
Okay.
No. But you know, that's on one extreme. I had a lot of coaches that were ecstatic to that degree. And then all the way back down to coaches who said, hey, there's pros and cons here. So kind of indifferent to it. You can make an argument one way or another, but nothing negative, Smitty. The biggest impacts, I think, you know, the overarching theme of all the responses was this is the most fair. This is the most fair. I will also make a note that in the memorandum from the South Carolina High School League was defined what constitutes a bona fide transfer due to like a move or something like that, because there's an exemption there as well. So you have to bake that into the cake here, is that there is the definition for bona fide transfers, which is different than the one-time transfer that we're talking about. So
and by the way, here's a positive for me. This wasn't made in a courtroom, right? This was the high school league, the South Carolina High School League.
Right.
A meeting of the executive committee which John Combs would now be, he's an associate commissioner. He's now involved with the South Carolina High School League. And by the way, we have some news up fourquarterfriday.com. There is a new AD at Spring Valley. It's the old AD. Jeff DiPodisto is returning to Spring Valley as its athletic director, as John Combs has moved on, if you missed that particular news. But net, this seems to be everybody is in favor of this. All I think I would ask, or my only commentary is, I know a lot of this has been fast and furious for in terms of transfers and everything that has landed in the laps of those that make rules like the South Carolina High School League. And then you have court rulings that are affecting all of this, and you have families making decisions. I just hope in the future that these parameters and these guardrails are set earlier, so that, to your point, you don't have kids that were agonizing with their families. They wanted to transfer, but they didn't want to miss games in their senior year. And then maybe they opted not to do whatever they were going to do and transfer, and instead kind of stay where they were for one reason or another. And now they've been told, oh, it would have been fine. It would have been okay.
Yeah.
And what we have to keep in mind, and look, I know these coaches do, and I know the high school league executive committee does. I'm not suggesting that they don't, but I think it always needs to be said. When you're a kid, you only get one senior year. That's it. The one time you go through high school, this is it. So all of these rulings, and we're trying to get it right, so, oh, it'll be okay for the next group. But for the kids that are here, and that's why net, I think this is the right thing. Because I don't know that seniors should have been treated any differently, because I think of these, I know that we have a lot of hand-wringing over kids that are transferring for athletic reasons, but you also have plenty of kids, I've experienced this in my own life, that are moving because someone in their family got a new job or whatever the case may be, you know, the thousands of reasons that you might move two counties away. And those kids were going to be caught up in this net as we try to prevent recruiting at the high school level.
Yeah, and I think
net, I think this is positive.
And I think that's the important note that's in there in this release that, or the memorandum from the high school league, that this new rule change does not apply if the student transferred because of a, quote, bona fide change of residence. And then they outline eight subpoints of what defines a bona fide change of residence. So I won't read through all of those to let everybody know, but they did build that in, to your point, where if you do have a real move because your parents get a new job and you move a couple counties over, that this does not apply in terms of the transfer withholdings, I guess I should say. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, Smitty. I think the biggest immediate thing here is in the first 3 weeks, we're talking about non-region. If you're on fourquarterfriday.com, next week you should be looking for some toughest non-region schedules in the six different areas of the state. If you have not tuned in with us and jumped on to fourquarterfriday.com, we are covering the state in six different areas. And so if you live in an area, you're going to get the teams that are in your area, regardless of classification or what region they got stuck in this year or whatever.
Got stuck in, man.
Well, in some cases it's a blessing, and in some cases it's a curse.
It's realignment, Rob. You know, you might get stuck in this tough region.
And that's how, you know, you look at the tough schedules, we'll see that. But the impact of this ruling, Smitty, is, hey, in the first 3 weeks, I may have a super tough schedule. I may be playing, I'm 4A and I'm playing, you know, a 4A championship contender and two 5A teams that went deep or won a state championship last year in my first four games. And I've got five senior transfers that are going to be primary playmakers for me. Well, they weren't going to be available. Now they are. Or the flip side, which I got from a couple coaches as well. Hey, we don't really have a lot of this going on, but we're looking at our schedule, and this just changed the matchups because week two, we've got so-and-so, and they have
multiple now, senior transfers.
Now some senior transfers that we're going to have to account for. Yeah. So, you know, this is, it reminds me of
Irma. Irmo is playing Rock Hill.
Rock Hill has several senior transfers. That's correct. Yep.
There's a matchup right there that has been affected, and I think that was already a can't-miss game, and now it moves up the ladder even further because Rock Hill has multiple senior transfers that are coming, and Irmo does too, right?
Well, Irmo's biggest one that everybody's going to talk about is Ty Phillips, the running back, but he's from North Carolina, so he's
eligible. Oh, he was eligible anyway. He was eligible anyway. Yeah. Okay.
So it doesn't impact Irmo as much in terms of their roster, but it does, like you said, that's a premier matchup that's going to be there. Rock Hill is, I think, widely regarded as one of the top most improved teams in the state coming into 2026. And so you look at those guys that are now going to be immediately available for them, makes them be an even earlier factor. And I think, too, Smitty, the way that the points work for playoffs and preparing for your region schedule, because, you know, if you can just win your region, then you know you're good to go to make a run. Kind of getting some of these guys tuned up, the chemistry, getting into true football form after a few games, you're going to have a bigger window to do that with some of these new players because of this ruling. So it is very impactful.
I'll tell you, we can write your feature for you here because Rock Hill's going to be on your list. Because they're going to have Irmo, Hilton Head, South Point, Northwestern, and at Boiling Springs on their non-region slate. And as you said, all those senior transfers are now available.
I'm looking at my notes in front of me right here, and you are correct, sir. They are on my
list. That's in. Okay. Let's go over, because before all of that, that is the entree that is coming, and of course we'll have coverage all fall, all autumn long. On fourquarterfriday.com. Right now, let's take a look at the Jamborees. This is the appetizer. This is where you can see these players for the first time, many of whom have either transferred into your area or players that are coming up from junior varsity. Or in the case of, say, Irmo, Rob, you're going to have a new quarterback. You've got a lot of teams, obviously, that have got new quarterbacks and players that we've talked about all offseason that you'll want to see, the ones we've been talking about on, you know, this summer. And here we go. Oh, I love this. Is there a better spot? Willie Varner Stadium to host the McDonald's kickoff.
And this is the Monday one. This is the Monday one.
Okay. So this one, are you going to be able to hit this? I'll call you out, put you on the spot now.
Yes.
Oh, you're going to be at Willie Varner for a Jamboree, Varner Stadium for a Jamboree. That is awesome. Right there. I don't think you can miss it. Greenville and Woodruff, 8 o'clock kick. They'll play a half of football. Look at that, two historic programs.
Then we also get we haven't mentioned this. There's a great piece on fourquarterfriday.com as well. The Massey ratings are released this week. You got your top 25 in the state of South Carolina, and right off the bat there at 7 p.m., you got a matchup between Westside and White Knoll, who are in that top 25 rating. If you're not familiar with Massey, it is the computer-generated system that was used during the BCS. And it is used to rank these teams in South Carolina regardless of classification. You definitely want to check out and see where your teams are. But you got a matchup, top 25 matchup right there. We just had a Fountain Inn piece out this week, talked to head coach Brett Nichols. Only the fifth year of football. You got a lot of guys, a big senior class that have now made it all the way through at Fountain Inn. Senior quarterback Sam Holliday was All-State last year. And he's going to be back for his fourth year as a starter. So that one will be interesting as well. This is the Monday. And then, Smitty, we've got four on the same Friday night.
Okay.
So,
By the way, I'm excited. We've had Victor Floyd on the show. Excited to see what he does at White Knoll. Championship pedigree and then a program that's got some talent.
Yeah, Victor Floyd on the list of first year at a new place. Coaches to watch this year. White Knoll was on my kind of under the radar Midlands piece. Mm-hmm. And then they come in. I'll give this away at 11 in the Massey rating. So I think we were on to it there. Okay. Let's go to Inman for another McDonald's kickoff classic here. You got some out of state matchups for everybody. So in state,
Border War, Landrum and Chase.
Landrum and Chase, followed by Westside and Raven Gap. Chapman gets Polk County and then Greer and Shelby. So four South Carolina teams and then four matchup teams from outside of the state of South Carolina in this one.
Yeah, it used to always be a border war up that way. And, I mean, obviously, Chapman's got a beautiful stadium now. And Polk County, they're used to this. They're used to this little short trip over the border. How is Chapman supposed to be this year? What do we know about Chapman?
They're continuing to build and grow. I think that what Harry Cabanis is doing up there is really good. And so I think that also when you look at – we talked about realignment earlier. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the regions, I think that it sets up for them to continue to make a push.
Good. Good.
All right.
Like good things for happening with my Chapman folks there.
Across town in Duncan, we have another McDonald's kickoff classic. Clinton and Riverside, Hillcrest gets Independence out of North Carolina, Woodruff and Lawrence, and then Burns is the nightcap against West Charlotte. Smitty.
And Hillcrest has certainly grown as a program. And I didn't know you were going to have this many crossovers. So, I mean, Independence and West Charlotte coming down. Get your eyes on some pretty good talent. This is like a recruiting analyst dream.
It is.
To come and get this,
because set them up.
I mean, Burns and West Charlotte, that's going to have a lot of D1 players on the field, right?
Absolutely. And you mentioned Hillcrest, quarterback Jackson Free committed yesterday to Presbyterian. So another player kind of getting that commitment out of the way so he can focus on his senior year. But you definitely have some matchups here. Second look at Woodruff. This is a good one. I would watch out for that. Riverside quarterback battle. I met with some of those guys over at Ramon Robinson's camp last weekend. Could get interesting. All right, Smitty, a couple more here.
Woodruff Lawrence, by the way, great uniform matchup.
No doubt.
But that's a good uniform matchup. Woodruff, let's see, I don't know who'll be wearing the home, but I hope Woodruff get the all maroon against the gold of Lawrence.
All right. I think this
that
is
electric
where
yellow.
I think this is where I'm going to be on that Friday night, Smitty.
Oh yeah, can't miss.
I mean, South Point, Palisades, Northwestern gets Ridgeview, and then Rock Hill against Monroe at District 3 Stadium. The WRHI Football City USA kickoff featuring all three schools there in Rock Hill.
District 3 Stadium. What a great setting. Keep your eyes on fourquarterfriday.com because we are going to have, if you are a fan of anything in that Rock Hill area, or if you're tired of the Rock Hill teams beating your team, whatever it is, just keep an eye at fourquarterfriday.com. We've got a piece coming out that will interest you coming up. Boy, great graphic too from WRHI up there. Chris Miller and the guys. Putting together a really good graphic. Rock Hill's going to be improved, as you said. South Point is what? They're a top five team, regardless of classification, as good as they are. And Northwestern.
The number three.
And what is in Northwestern is number one.
Number one. Okay. Back to back state champions. Time to go get another one. You know, I think the quote that I had, I'll put this out there too, from quarterback Xavier Means. He was quoting head coach Paige Wofford when I was interviewing him, and he said, "We can't defend the championship when we're chasing one." So that's, you can see where their focus is.
He's a good quote. Coach Wofford is a good quote. And stop me if you've heard this before. Watch Rock Hill's defensive backs. You could have said that in like 1993, 2003, 2013. Here we are, 2026, Rock Hill defensive backs.
All four of them.
I have recruitable players in the defensive backfield because that's what they grow at Rock Hill High School. So that's Football City USA. That's awesome. That's definitely where you'll be.
All right. And speaking of this, that's where I'll be. Smitty, yep. I think this might be where you'll be.
I'll be there on that Friday for sure.
Gotcha.
I will be there. It's always a great crowd. It's an unbelievable setting. This one at Brooks Stadium. So you'll have to shuttle in. You got to park. And then you shuttle in, but it's going to be killer. Conway's going to be better under Jody Jenneret. Does anybody doubt that?
No.
That they're going to be better. Socastee, I've been on the phone with Ben Hampton, the head coach at Socastee. They've had such bad luck in terms of cluster injuries in the last few years. If Socastee can stay healthy, they finally got some playmakers on the outside that will make a difference. And they've got veterans both in the front seven defensively and in the front of their offense on the offensive line. So Sakastee's going to be better. And then, of course, Carolina Forest, you have to see Carolina Forest run the football. The way Mark Morris does things at Carolina Forest, they're in those Massey ratings, are they top five? CF might be top five.
They're not top five, but they are on those Massey ratings. And I think that, you know,
they're underrated then. They are, I am telling you, that's a monster. Carolina Forest is a monster. And now we'll see how they handle the travel in the new region this year. But Coach Morris, what they do, running game, they're in everything. They're going to be in every football game, and no one will want to see them at playoff time, and they're absolutely a playoff team. And North Myrtle Beach is a team I'll be seeing not only that night at the CMB Kickoff Classic, but also I'll have them week one on Friday Night Rivals on WPDE. We'll have Sakastee and North Myrtle Beach from up there in Little River, first time on Friday Night Rivals. Keep an eye on fourquarterfriday.com for this as well. We're going to get as many of the TV schedules out to you as we can.
No doubt about it. We're going to do that. And I'll remind you as well that on the Chief Sports app, you can stream so many radio broadcasts. If you're not in the area, if maybe you went to school in a different part of the state and you've moved and now you're going to be at your kid's game, but you want to know what happens at your alma mater, or maybe you moved out of the state, but you're listening to us or watching us right now, make sure that you download the Chief Sports app and you'll be able to stream those broadcasts. I did that all year last year, and Smitty mentioned it before. We're going to be doing this along with you because we can't be everywhere. Mm-hmm. And so we will be at games. Smitty will be doing some TV. I'll be doing some radio. We'll be kind of all over the place, and you'll get an opportunity to get on there, get on the Varsity Club and tell us your scores. Because we want to hear from you as well.
I can't wait. Here's what I want. Here's the report I want, Rob. I want you to come back to us with Rock Hill. Northwestern's good. South Point's good. I mean, it's not like you don't need to see them, but I'm suggesting there's no way you're coming back to us and saying, oh, yeah, Northwestern and South Point aren't going to compete for championship. They will. We know that. But I think Rock Hill, with the transfers, with the veteran leadership and athleticism on the back end, and they do, you know, all of that kind of Rock Hill old influence on what they you've got sons of former players, you've got a coach who's a former player.
You got Coach Simpson on that staff.
Yeah, I just think this is, I don't know what the record will be, but I just get the sense that before the year is over, Rock Hill will make waves. And I want to know what you see when you put eyes on them in a couple of weeks.
Well, you'll be able to probably see it in real time on the Varsity Club in Snippets, Smitty, if you're on fourquarterfriday.com. And we hope that you will all join us over there, especially as we get into the season. We've got intel stuff coming up from fall camp. And we've also got, like I said, toughest schedules before we get into the heart of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be obviously on the message board from the CMB Kickoff Classic, but we can't be everywhere. We need your help. Join fourquarterfriday.com. Be a part of the Varsity Club. $1 to join right now, just $5 a month. I promise you, it is where you want to be. If you like high school football and high school athletics enough to join us right here on this show, you want to be a part of that at fourquarterfriday.com. We'll wrap it up right now. Inside the Gamecocks is next. Thank you to Rob. But we're open 24 hours a day. Fourquarterfriday.com. Inside the Gamecocks with Jamie Bradford on the Chief Sports Network is next.